relax and open that mind, because you are mere seconds away from tuning into one of the fastest growing parapolitical podcasts out in podcast land. You are now tuned into the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. The tinfoil hat making its return. October, the paranormal month of October, the tinfoil hat took a little break. Well, we're now in November. And what that means is the Paranormal Patriot is getting back to what the Paranormal Patriot does. And that is talk about the paranormal, the supernatural, but we're going to put back into the fold the political and the conspiratorial. And this week, we've got a little bit of everything. But before I get into the show, I would like to take a quick second and do what I do a lot, and that is thank my listeners. And the reason I do that a lot is because I realize without my listeners, this show is nothing. So it is because of you that this show continues to grow, and it continues to be noticed, and it continues to be featured. So thank you. The month of October for the Paranormal Patriot broke record after record. We had a phenomenal month. Every month for the last couple months, we have just been skyrocketing, beating numbers that I never thought would ever be broken. And again, it's all because of you. So thank you. Give yourselves a pat on the back. So if you are commenting on the post, sharing the post, retweeting the tweets on Twitter, liking posts, thank you. Because every single one of you that are doing that is helping promote the show. Andy, you're my Twitter guy. You retweet every time, and I just can't get into Twitter, so I'm, for lack of a better term, I'm counting on you to help me out, and you do it every week. Connie, share the show. Dustin, comment on the show. Jay Miles at Vanishing Gates, promoting the show. Thank you. For everybody that promotes, does something, and just listens, thank you for what you've been doing for the show. We are pulling numbers that are just through the roof, and it's no coincidence that we are really starting to get noticed. And when I say we, I mean that. We are a family here. The Parapatriots are what I call you guys. And we are a family. A lot of you have been with me from the very beginning. This past month, being featured podcast on Podbean, we've picked up a lot of new listeners. And just welcome them, you know. It's all one family. We all get along here for the most part. You know, we do have some listeners that don't like my political view of things. But, you know, we're not always going to agree on everything. So I wanted to get just a quick thank you and to let you know how well the show is doing, and it's because of you, and just keep it up. Keep sharing the show. Keep liking the comments. Comment on the show. Retweet. Do whatever you have to do. If you haven't liked the Facebook page, go to the Paranormal Patriot on Facebook. Like the page. Share the page. Tell everybody you know, hey, listen to this show. It's actually pretty good. If you're listening to the show, you either like the political, the conspiracies, the supernatural, or the paranormal. You have friends that have not listened to this show that have those same type of likes and interests. Let them listen to the show. Get everybody involved. It's a one listener at time thing. I've always said, you know, just open your mind. Be open. Be up for sometimes a life-changing thought, a life-changing experience. That's what we do at the Paranormal Patriot, and I couldn't do it without you. So thank you. Thank you very much for the phenomenal support you're giving me, and keep it up. So before we take a break, I want to get into the comment of the week. Now, most of my comments of the week come from the States, because the majority of my listeners come from the States. But over the past couple months, the listenership in the UK has skyrocketed to amazing numbers. And this week's comment of the week comes from Albert. He is in Rye, East Sussex, England. And he writes or emailed me and says, "Hey, Tom, greetings from across the pond. Thank you for the wonderful paranormal shows that you are producing. I thoroughly enjoy the paranormal. But while I enjoy the paranormal, I do have to ask you a question because I am terrified of the paranormal." He wants to know, "Tom, how did you get into ghost hunting?" And then that was quick. That was simple, 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 simple email. And he ends it with, "Keep up the great work. Love the show. By the way, do not stop talking politics. There are a lot of people here in England that love to hear American politics, and they like to hear both sides of the story. So don't stop with the politics. Thanks for everything you do. Albert from England. Well, Albert, I think I might have mentioned this, but it's been a while. But my love of the paranormal began at a very early age. I lived in a normal house. I had a normal childhood growing up. But when I was younger, we had a basement, and I would always spend time in the basement. It was a finished basement. We just spent a lot of time down there. We had a place called the toy room where we had all our toys, and it was where we spent a lot of time, my brothers and sisters and I. Well, I would go down there, and every now and then I'd get the feeling I was being watched, and I would just turn around real quick and see the face of a bearded man kind of fade before my eyes. And I always thought I was just seeing things. I would never thought I was crazy, but as I was growing up, it never stopped. I figured as I would get older, I would stop seeing this bearded man. I called him Abraham Lincoln because it kind of reminded me of Abraham Lincoln's face. It didn't matter how old I got. As long as I lived in that house and spent time down the basement, I always caught a fleeting glimpse of that face and always had the feeling that I was being watched. And I think it was either last week or the week before, I'd tell my mom and she'd think, whatever. Never thought anything of it. But years ago, we were at the house and just happened to be in the basement. I think I was helping her bring some stuff up for Thanksgiving. And she looked over to me and she said, that bearded guy you said you'd always see? Yeah, I see him too. And I said, what? And she says, yeah, down the basement here. I have no idea who it is, what it is, but I see it. I get that feeling that I'm being watched, and I turn around and there's just a fleeting glimpse of a bearded man in my field of view, and it's gone. And you never see anything other than maybe face, neck, a little bit of shoulders, but it's there. That's two people that have seen it. My brothers and sisters claim they haven't seen it. My dad has said he hasn't seen it, so it's just my mom and I. But I believe that my senses, my mediumship, my empathic traits, my clairvoyance, I believe that comes from my mom. My mom and I have always been into the paranormal, and she's always said she sees my grandpa at the house. She sees, and I've seen what I believe to be my grandpa at the house when I visit, and it's just a shadow of a build of like my grandpa walking from one room to the other. And my mom says she sees it all the time, and she's not afraid. She says it's actually quite comforting. But I always used to see this bearded person and never thought anything of it. Never thought of the paranormal. Never thought of ghosts. Quite honestly, it was when I saw my first UFO that I really got into the paranormal, because it was something that was so, it wasn't a fading image like that bearded face I'd see. It was a definitive UFO. I remember the first UFO I saw, and I'm not going to say it was alien, I'm not going to say it was extraterrestrial or anything like that, but it was an unidentified flying object. It was a nice summer day, night, I should say nice summer night. I was about probably, I would say 8 or 9, and my parents had just taken us kids out to get ice cream, and when we got back, it was really dark. And I think, if memory serves correctly, I think my mom went out back to take some clothes off of the clothesline that we had that were drying. And I heard her yell to my dad to come into the backyard, and he jumped out of his chair, and I followed. And he's like, what's going on? We had no idea what was going on. And she's like, what is that in the sky? And we looked to it would have been the northern sky. And our neighbor had this huge, huge oak tree. And I'm talking huge. And above that, and it was, and when I say above it, I'm not just going to say there it was right above it, but sight line above it was a pulsating bright light that would hover, and then it would move one way, stop, hover, move one way, stop, and just pulsating. And my dad's like, it's a weather balloon. And even back then, I told him, I said, weather balloons don't do that, Dad. They don't go one way, stop, go the other way, stop. Weather balloon goes with the wind. And my mom, I could tell, was pretty scared. And my dad is the type of guy, and he used to do this all the time. We'd get tornado warnings, and my mom would freak out, and she would put us all down the basement under the pool table. My dad would be standing on the front porch looking for the tornado. So he really wasn't afraid of anything like that. And he wasn't afraid of this. He just, that's weird, and called it a night. My mom went in, but I happened to just stay out there a little bit and just watch this thing just hover and then just fly away. Now, some people said it might have been a helicopter, but helicopter lights don't pulsate like that. And that's what got my love of the paranormal going. It's kind of stoked those fires. And over the years, I started noticing I'm seeing a lot of UFOs. I'd see things that I couldn't understand. And I was just infatuated with UFOs. Infatuated. I was one of the most knowledgeable ufologists in Michigan in my 20s. And just would go on sky watches and have a blast. We'd see strange things. And then all of a sudden, it just died out. I just had no desire to go on sky watches or be involved with UFOs. And it just, at that point, and some people may say it was meant to be this way, but I was married. I had one son by the name of Michael, and he was a young child, and I got home from work, and my wife at the time worked. So she worked nights. I'd come home from work. She'd leave from work, so I'd watch my son. I'd hang out with my son all night. Well, it was a normal night, and the only thing abnormal about it was Michael just happened to fall asleep pretty early. So I took a quick shower and got out of the shower and said, I'm going to play some video games. And I had him in his swing. It was kind of a lay-down swing type thing. And I had an entertainment center. Now, keep in mind, back at this time, we didn't have the flat-screen TVs. We had the gargantuan tube TVs. So we had a pretty big entertainment center, and that entertainment center had a glass door on it. I opened the door a little bit in the reflection in the door. Boom, there it is. I can see Michael perfectly. Well, I'm playing, it was a baseball game, a video game, and it was a PS1 game, so that tells you about when this happened. And I'm playing, and all of a sudden I hear Michael start to kind of wake up a little bit, and he's making, you know, for lack of a better term, baby noises. Cooing and eyeing, and I just happened to glance in the reflection of the glass door, and I see a person standing over my son, and I absolutely freak out. I throw the controller down, jump up, and turn around, and just as plain as day, just like I'm talking to somebody anywhere, anytime, I get up and I turn around, and there's somebody standing there. Bearded man, not the same bearded man, but he had a beard. Tall, skinny man, full body. I could see everything about him. And I just said, who in the hell are you? Because, A, I locked all the doors when I went to take the shower. So I know the doors were locked. So my first thought is, who the hell is this? And how did they get into my house? Well, that man looks up at me, smiles, looks at Michael, and walks into the kitchen. And at this point, I'm shocked. So they hit the kitchen door. There's a doorway leading into the kitchen. And after about 3-4 feet, you take a right and you go towards the door to go outside. Well, he started to turn right, and I bolted. I ran through the house to get to the kitchen, and by the time I got there, there's nobody there. The door's locked. The door wasn't open. It hadn't opened, because you can hear that door open because it creaked. I didn't hear the door open. I looked throughout that whole house. The whole house. I looked through it, and nobody was there. Now, at the time, my wife usually got home about 3 in the morning. I had to get up at 5 to be to work by 6. So I usually went to bed pretty early. But that particular night, A, I couldn't sleep, and B, I didn't want to sleep. When I got home, my wife's like, what are you doing up? And I told her the story. And I told her what the man looked like and what transpired through that whole situation. And she had no clue. Well, we were at her mom's house one day, and we were going through some old pictures, and lo and behold, I come across a picture of the man I see, or I saw. I'm looking right at him, and it was her dad. Now, her dad died 2 years before I met her, so I never knew her dad. Her dad was working for GM and was injured, and over the course of a couple of years died of those injuries. I never saw him. I saw pictures of him later in life when he was in a wheelchair, couldn't communicate. I never saw him in his prime. Well, apparently in his prime he had a beard, and that's who I saw. My heart skipped a beat, and apparently my mouth was hanging wide open because she said, what's wrong? And I just said, that's him. That's who I saw with Michael that night. And her mom started bawling. And her mom's like, I knew Mike was looking over him. And we named my son Michael after her dad. And she said, I knew Mike was looking over him. I always knew it. And to this day, I mean, I know that he is still looking over Michael. It was that instant that my desire to get in touch with the ghost side of paranormal investigating and the paranormal aspect, it was at that point that the ghost side of it kicked in. And my desire to get into UFOs waned substantially at that point. So you could say I went from UFO hunting to ghost hunting. Well, over the years, I started a paranormal group. We went on ghost hunts. We did a lot of things with the paranormal group. It was called PRISM, the Paranormal Research and Investigative Society of Michigan. We did a lot with that. But I noticed I was seeing strange things in the sky again. And I don't know if it's because I was just consciously looking, because I don't think I was consciously looking, but it seemed like every once in a while when I'd look up, I'd see something weird. And it brought my desire and my love of ufology back into the forefront. So not only was I ghost hunting, I was into ufology, sky watching, and that evolved into cryptid hunting, Bigfoot, Dogman, the Witchy Wolves of the Omer Plains. I mean, it's just a love of the paranormal. You could say it started with the bearded guy in my basement. But honestly, it started with the UFO encounter that I had at a very young age. And that evolved into a very educational time of studying UFOs. And then my encounter with my unknown father-in-law, the father-in-law I never met, when he interacted with my son, got into the ghost side of things. And then everything just kind of conglomerated into one, and that's where we are now. And I find it easier, rather than going on a ton of sky watches, rather than going on a bunch of investigations, I find it easier to be involved in the paranormal by doing this show, because I can reach more people. I can have interactions with more people. It is amazing to me how many friends and how many acquaintances I have come in contact and made just because of our love of the paranormal and our common experiences in the paranormal. So to make a long story short, Albert, it started at a very young age. And there's a lot of people that are afraid of the ghosts, of the paranormal. I've never had a contact. I've never had any type of contact with a ghost that has been something that I felt was going to harm me. Now, I've talked to many people that have been harmed, that have felt harm or felt uneasy, and I'm sure it's out there, but I don't know. I just don't feel afraid. I told you about the UFO sightings I've had recently. I had another one the other day. Driving to work, and there's a bright, bright light just above the tree lines on the way to work, and I know other people saw it because that 55-mile-an-hour road was driving about 25 with people tapping their brakes all the way down because this light, I got pictures of it. I'll post them on the Paranormal Patriot Facebook page. It's not really anything you can see. It's because I was moving, and trying to not run into the car in front of me, I was taking these pictures, and you know, it's a bright light that you can see. Hasn't been there before, and I guarantee you when I drive to work on Monday, it's not going to be there. So I've been seeing more and more UFOs lately. I saw two shooting up in the sky as my kids were driving away from on the bus, and I saw one probably a couple months ago. I mean, it's just, maybe I'm looking into the sky more often, but I don't know. But that's how I got into the paranormal. That's why I love the paranormal, and that's why I love doing this show, is because I can meet and interact with people like Albert and everybody else I talk to. So Albert from England, thank you for listening. Thank you for growing the ranks of my English listenership. If you want to be a part of the Paranormal Patriot, if you want to be a comment of the week or have any comments, suggestions, anything at all, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and I have had so many people over the course of this month want me to talk about this subject that I felt I have to. I briefly discussed it a week or two ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago, but I have to get into it a little bit more in detail because everybody wants to know my thoughts. Is there something nefarious going on? What's going on in California? So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
When the time will tell, one more time I'll break your heart with someone else who will love me this way.
Cancer affects us all in one way or another. If we have it, it definitely affects us, but it also affects the family members of those who have it. This month, November, is Neuroendocrine Cancer Awareness Month. Neuroendocrine cancer is a very rare form of cancer, but it is a cancer that has touched my family deeply. Please, over the month of November, please do what you can to bring awareness to this rare form of cancer and bring funding and hope to the families that it impacts. Hey everybody, this is Tom Velasquez, the host of the Paranormal Patriot, which can be heard every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Are you intrigued by the paranormal? Do conspiracies excite you? Do you like to talk about ghosts, UFOs, or cryptids, or just politics in general? If so, my show, The Paranormal Patriot, is for you. Tune in every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up.
I've seen the other side, and I lost so many there. Finally, without a care, he told me to have faith, faith that could return. He told me I'd be better due to the lessons I had learned. The princess of thoughts.
Okay, again, I have been inundated with people sending me emails asking me what I think of the California wildfires and the resulting blackouts perpetuated by PG&E. Well, first off, let me say the wildfires are horrific. I pray for those affected, and I pray for those in this state, because it's an environmental disaster. But a lot of people think that there's a more nefarious, conspiracy-related problem here. And I guess I don't subscribe to that theory. The reason for that is, first off, the Santa Ana winds come every year. It's not like this was a surprise that the Santa Ana winds are arriving. My biggest issue with this is with PG&E. Now, I'm sure most of you know, but for those of you who don't, PG&E is cutting off power to millions of people. And when I say cutting off, I'm not saying, okay, you're going to be off for a little bit, you're going to be off for a little bit. You are off of power for days. And I mentioned it before. I said, you know, they're going to have a huge lawsuit on your hands for these people that are dependent on electricity to stay alive. Well, during the first day of the power outages, I heard of a story of a man who needed power to stay alive. He died. But the issue here is this. We know the Santa Ana winds are coming every year. It's no surprise. The old way they used to do this, and the reason they're cutting off power is because they don't want these winds to cause a power line to snap or cause a power line to spark and therefore ignite the timber or the foliage underneath. Well, here's the backstory on that. PG&E has been clearing areas, and listen, the areas that are being affected are growing exponentially. So they're clearing forests and woods away and just dumping all of this stuff in areas around power lines. So, and again, I mentioned it last time, Donald Trump threatened to stop federal funding to California because they are negligent in not cleaning up the dead and dying foliage. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. And the media and the left went all guns blowing off on him. They just went after him for saying such a ludicrous thing. Well, California's governor, right before these power outages were to begin, said this is a result of the timber and the dead and dying timber that we don't want to run the risk of a spark setting off a major wildfire. There was no outcry. There was no outcry. That's a pretty good plan, Governor Newsom. But when Donald Trump says it, it's horrible. He's a racist. He's a xenophobe. He's out to get California. But that's beside the point. The old way they used to do this is they used to cut back the trees 30 feet away from these power lines. Well, then the environmentalists got in there, and they said, you can't do that. These trees are living creatures. Getcha. They're alive. I get that. They are. They breathe. They grow. But because of the environmentalists, they only have a 10-foot clearance now. So these power lines are 20 feet closer to ignitable material. So the environmentalists, I believe, are in full culpability in this because it was fine before. You never, ever, ever heard of these big wildfires. Now, you had them every now and then, but you didn't have them every year. Every single year, California is ravaged by wildfire now. And that brings to my other problem. How long has PG&E knew this was an issue? Why is it so hard? Now, I understand they've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of miles of power lines. How hard is it to take your most vulnerable areas and convert them from overhead power lines to underground power lines? You do that, problem solved. Boom, it's done. You don't have that issue anymore. Why is that not being talked about? Where is PG&E in this? Yes, people are pissed off. The media isn't saying anything bad about them. But the people are pissed. I have a ton of people that listen to the show that I correspond with in California. Jay Miles, host of Vanishing Gates, the podcast I talk about all the time. He's not been able to podcast because, lo and behold, they don't have any power. Why is nobody talking about the fact that there has been literally nothing done to stop this threat? All you have to do is take those lines and start in the most vulnerable areas. You know, if you are in a neighborhood, don't bury the lines yet. But if you are deep in the woods and you've got timber and dead foliage all over, first off, you should be getting rid of the dead foliage and in the just kindling. But secondly, bury the lines. If you can't afford to do that, PG&E, then get out and let a company in that can. It's a simple process. And now I hear rumors that this is And this is, I guess, the most conspiratorial thing about this. And again, this is not firsthand knowledge. This is not probably secondhand knowledge. But I guess in this day's news cycle, anonymous sources are the way to go because you're not held liable. I've got an anonymous source, and that's news. But anonymous sources are saying that this was all planned by the California government, that if PG&E can't get a handle on this, well, then the government's going to take control of the energy sector. And that just reeks of socialism, government control. And when the government's controlling our energy, oh, man, that's not going to be good. So there's a lot of intangibles and things going on here in California. I don't think it is a mass population die-off event. I don't think PG&E or the California government's trying to kill people. It's just gross negligence on PG&E's part. Listen, again, we know the Santa Ana winds are coming every year. They do it every year around the same time. California is negligent because they are just allowing all this dead foliage and this timber, which is just a kindling pile ready to go up. They know it's an issue, but nothing's being done. They have a year to take care of that. The problem is California is essentially broke. And why is California broke? It's because they have a ton of entitlement programs. And this is a case. You can look at California as a national case against full-blown entitlements. You start paying for everybody's everything. You start paying for illegals, housing, medical care, food, schooling, education. You don't have any money to do the basics to not have your state go up in flames. I guess you could say it's going up in flames in another way, but this is literally going up in flames. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't think there's a really big conspiracy here. I'm not 100% convinced that the government is planning on taking over PG&E and taking control of the energy sector. But what I will say is this is a prime example of the government of California being negligent due to the fact that they are not cleaning up what they know is a mess. They know that there's areas of these forests that are just tinderboxes, and they just let them go. And PG&E is negligent because, again, we know this is coming every year, and yet the lines are still overhead. And I get they've got tens of thousands of miles of lines. I get it. But you know what? You start with the most vulnerable areas. You go into the woods where these power lines are, and you bury those lines. That takes out a lot of potential danger. But they either don't want to, or more probably, they don't have the money to. And if they don't have the money to, then shut them down, get another company in there that is willing to do that. It's as simple as that. To the residents of California, I'm sorry you're having to go through this, but the state you choose to live in is an absolute three-ring circus. It is a conglomeration of how not to do government, how not to run a state, how not to run a small country. Because that's what California is. If you want an example of how to just bankrupt your own country, your own state, look no farther than California. I feel sorry for the citizens of California. You know, we don't have wildfires like this in Michigan. It just doesn't happen. And trust me, it gets windy here. It just doesn't happen because Michigan is run a hell of a lot better than California. So those are my thoughts on California. I've had a ton of people ask me about it. I had to say something. So those are my thoughts. Let me know what you think. GhostSeeker4@charter.net. Again, GhostSeeker4@charter.net. Now, before I go to break, I wanted to talk to you briefly about a subject that one of our listeners sent to us. And it was during the month of October. I didn't get a chance to do it during the Halloween month of October, during the paranormal month. But I did want to talk about it because it involves the Victorian era. The Victorian era is one of my favorite times. The dress, the customs, the traditions, just everything about it, I love. Rosie from Ohio sent me an email and said, Tom, I'm loving the paranormal of this month. I can't wait to hear what the Halloween show has. She said she wanted to give our listeners, you and I and everybody listening, a glimpse of what it was like to have a Victorian funeral. And when I relate this story to you, and this is from the Friends of Oak Grove Cemetery, when I relate this to you, think about the funerals of today and think about what we do today at a funeral. It all stems from the Victorian era. So what would happen is curtains would be drawn and the clocks would be stopped at the time of death. The mirrors were covered with a veil to prevent the deceased spirit from getting trapped in the looking glass. A wreath of laurel, yew, or boxwood tied with crepe or black ribbons was hung on the front door, and that alerted passers-by that a death had occurred. Now, the body was watched over every minute until burial, hence the custom of waking. The wake also served as a safeguard from burying somebody who was not dead but was in a coma. Most wakes lasted 3 to 4 days to allow relatives to arrive from far away. The use of flowers and candles, which we take for granted. Every funeral we've ever been to, there's been flowers and candles. It's not for show. It comes from the Victorian era, and that was to help mask the unpleasant odors in the room of the body decomposing before embalming became common. In 19th century Europe and America, the dead were carried out of the house feet first in order to prevent the spirit from looking back into the house and beckoning another member of the family to follow him. Family photographs were also sometimes turned face down to prevent any of the close relatives and friends of the deceased from being possessed by the spirit of the dead. Back in the Victorian times, it was commonplace for people to pose for pictures holding loved ones with the deceased at the time of death, or after death, I should say. It is kind of morbid now to have it. I mean, you can't even, it's taboo now to take a picture at a funeral of the body in the casket, right? It's just how we've grown up. But back in the Victorian times, they would take these corpses, the bodies of loved ones, and pose them with family members. Or the photographers back then had stands that they could lean the deceased up and make it look like they're alive. The eyes would be closed, but they would paint eyes on the eyelids to make it look like they're watching or they're alive. It was commonplace back then, but somehow over the course of centuries, it's become taboo. But it was commonplace to have pictures, one last picture, essentially, of the family with the loved one present. I just find that very, very interesting and very informative, because a lot of our funeral customs come from that time. But, you know, right now it's, again, taboo to be taking a picture of a dead body, but back then it was commonplace, and it was the norm. And if you didn't do it, it wasn't right. You didn't feel right because you don't have that quote-unquote last photo of your loved one. So I just thought it was interesting. Again, I wanted to put that into the Halloween, the paranormal month, but we just didn't have time. But I thought it interesting enough because it's interesting. Death is, unfortunately, nothing we're going to avoid. But there's a lot of things in the past that they did that we just don't do today. And a lot of our customs today stem from what they did in the past. So, Rosie, thank you very much for the informative information. I hope our listeners enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any comments on that, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. We're going to come back. And this is kind of a listener-inspired show. This is a month of backlog reports and emails of people wanting to hear topics. And another topic that was brought up were the trumpet sounds in the sky. They're back and they are more prevalent than ever. I've got some examples this year of the trumpet sounds. You're going to want to stick around for that because something's going on. and I'm going to give you my thoughts because there's new updated theories, new updated thoughts on that. So sit back, relax, open that mind, open your ears, because you're going to be in for a treat this next segment. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez, and I will be right back.
Said you were looking for some kind of closure. Never gonna find it here. Can you read the atmosphere? I'm not looking for any excuses for you to come over. Trying to think of what it is that could have gotten you like this. But I'm in love with the way that you say my name when you're talking about how we could have been lovers. How could I have ever sought this? Coming back to the start, we ain't told me apart. My friends all told me that I should have known better than to let you break me. Cause I don't even need your love.
Halloween time in Saginaw, Michigan can only mean one thing, and that is a new haunting film. Every year, director Stephen T. Shippey unveils his latest movie to thousands of mid-Michigan residents. The record-breaking premieres have drawn the attention of both local and national news media due to its massive success. Each film features the investigation of a haunted Saginaw, Michigan location and the shocking evidence that is discovered during the investigation. The Hauntings films feature the Seekers Paranormal Investigative Team, and this year, they will be unveiling their newest paranormal investigation film, A Haunting on Brockway Street. The rest of the Haunting films can be found on Amazon Prime. All you have to do is type in A Haunting, and you will find a whole line of haunting films based out of Saginaw, Michigan. If you like your paranormal raw, gritty, but also very informative and very interesting, do yourself a favor and go watch A Haunting. Brought to you by The Seekers, Saginaw, Michigan's greatest and most famous paranormal investigation team. The trumpet sounds in the sky. I've done many shows about it, and every time I do a show, I get tons of responses and correspondence from my listeners that they are just in awe of what those sounds could be. Over the past couple months, I've been noticing an upward trend of people emailing me asking me to do an updated show about the trumpet sounds. They want to see, Tom, are they still around? And they want to hear more sounds that people are hearing in the sky from this year. So I had one listener in October by the name of John, and he's from Wisconsin. He said, Tom, listen to these. I've pulled these up off of YouTube. I want you to play these for the listeners. I love your trumpet shows, but these are new. Tell me what you think of these. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play these sounds for you, and I want you to listen and tell me, A, do they sound any different than any of the other ones that we played before? But B, what are they? Because there's new theories coming out about what they could be, and it's up to you to decide whether or not you believe in them. So this first one that you're going to hear is one from Spain. It was in October of this year that a group of people were out walking in, it looks kind of like a little mountainous area, but they were filming, and they started hearing strange noises in the sky. Now, even though it's in Spain, these people were either tourists or they spoke English pretty well, because you can tell that they were speaking English. So listen to this. Tell me, have you heard this sound before? And what do you think it is?
Did you hear that? Luna. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
You guys hear that?
Mm-hmm.
is that? What is that?
It's like ground move.
You feel the ground move?
They are.
Any idea what that
is? They are animals that live on the ground and walk around.
Oh my god, did you hear that? My 4-year-old thinks it's animals that live underground and walk around.
I think it's a devil banging his trident.
Oh my gosh, seriously. That is messed up. Don't listen to my kids. They couldn't possibly be. Anyone else know what this could be? What is this?
So tell me that isn't almost identical to a lot of the sounds that I've played for you in the past. I really like the little girl saying that they're animals living underground, or it's the devil beating his trident. To the dad, you know, hey, give the kid a break. Don't tell the listeners not to listen to your kids. That's as good a theory as I've heard from anybody. So the next one I'm going to play for you is from Germany. And I'm going to tell you right now, this one, the first time I heard it, kind of struck me as eerie. I didn't like the sound of it in the beginning because it just sounded evil. And then it got into the very familiar sounds that we hear all the time. So listen to this one. This one was from September of 2019 in Germany. Listen to this, and this one's kind of eerie. Now, in this video, you're hearing these noises all around you. I'm wearing headphones right now, and I can just, it's almost like it's encircling my head. But in the video, there are a line of cars that are just sitting on the side of the road. In other words, everybody has pulled off the road and is just standing outside their car, looking in the sky, wondering what in the world that noise is. And it really sounds metallic. It really does. There's a lot of new explanations, and maybe somewhat not new, but more and more people are believing that this is the earth moving, that it's just kind of like a house settling on its foundation. I don't know if I believe that, because the earth, the top layer of the earth is stone, and stone rubbing up against itself doesn't make that noise. The noise we're hearing, it's almost like a metallic noise, like just metal just grinding and shearing on each other. Now I know the core is iron, which is of course a metal. Are we hearing something going on in the core of the earth? I mean, that first video in Spain, you heard the guy say you can feel it in the ground. But that doesn't account for why you're not feeling it or hearing it at ground level. You're hearing it above you in the sky. What is that? In the one in Germany, the one you just listened to me, that was just eerie how it was just almost like a heartbeat. Oh, man, that one just sent chills down my spine the first time I heard it. Now, this one comes from South Texas. It's eerie. It's long. It's about almost 4 minutes. And I'm going to play you the duration of the 4 minutes only because I want you to hear how long this thing goes on and on and on. This is from July of 2019 in South Central Texas. Listen to this one. It almost sounds kind of like an orchestra warming up that just has no idea what they're doing. Listen to this one. This one's This one's long and it's loud and it's kind of scary. And then it just stops. Listening to that through these headphones, it almost sounds to me like a metal chair being dragged across a floor. There's been some new theories. Now, they're very conspiratorial. We've all heard about the aliens, the parallel dimension. But there's a new theory around the conspiracy sites that says it's underground tunnels being dug. They want that. There's talk about Walmart and FEMA because a lot of people think that Walmarts are being retrofitted into FEMA camps. Now, back a couple years ago, we had Jade Helm, the military operation, the drill, quote unquote, that had a lot of people up in arms because it was supposed to usher in the beginning of martial law. Well, that wasn't the case. However, there was video out there that showed some Walmarts looking a lot like, I guess, detention camps. There were Walmarts in Texas and California that were closed due to plumbing concerns that really never opened, but they were converted. They had fences put around them, and nobody really was allowed anywhere near it. So there's some truth to the FEMA Walmart thing. I mean, honestly, go into any Walmart. Right when you walk in, there's facial recognition cameras on every Walmart. In my little town of Owosso, there's facial recognition cameras in that Walmart. Why? Why are they there? There's some people that say, well, if you anything happens to a child, they can pinpoint who you are and whatever. To me, it's uncomfortable. But there's also theories that it is military jets or military technology. And, you know, that may be the case. I'm more prone to think we're talking HARP, or we could be talking still. I'm a big believer in parallel universes, that we're going to get into, or we are going into an area where, listen, the Earth is constantly moving around the equinox of the universe, okay? And we are going towards the center of the universe now, and that is more, how do I want to put it? It's more enlightening when you get to the center of the universe as opposed to going away from it. And we've been going away from it for the longest time. Well, now we've made that turn, and the planet is coming towards the center of the universe, where the thought pattern is the enlightenment begins. And it may be that as we are gaining or going towards the center of the universe, it could be another dimension. It could be an enlightenment process. I don't know, but all I know is these are weird, weird sounds, but more importantly, they're real. These sounds are not misidentifications. They are not hoaxes. These are people all over the world hearing these sounds, videoing these sounds, hearing these same sounds, and nobody knows what they are. We have our theories, some of them more relevant and more trustworthy than others, but who says who is right? Heck, for all we know, the little girl that says the devil may be beating his trident, that may be what it is. We don't know. So that little girl's theory is just as relevant as mine and anybody else's. So let me know what you think of these sounds. These sounds, you know, I hear them and I love talking about them, but man, I'm telling you, they are eerie to me. They are unnerving to me. Let me know what you think. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. So thank you for listening to the show. We're going to end it about a minute early, about 30 seconds early this week. Give Coming Right Up a quick second to advertise whatever they want to advertise. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you so much for the numbers you gave me, for listening for the month of October and everything you do. Please continue to share the show. Please continue to promote the show, talk about the show, and more importantly, just thank you for everything. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will talk to you next week.